Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our custom here, would you read together with me the title of our sermon this evening? But Then You Came. And for our members, this is an unusual thing. There is no sermon outline in the handout. Half of the sermon is a story, and the other half I will just share with you with no sermon outline. She was 15, and he was 17 when they first met in high school. And they dated all through school, and it came as a surprise to nobody that when they graduated, they got married. But 4 years later, she was standing at the kitchen sink with a pile of dirty dishes, two children at her feet, a hallway filled with dirty diapers, and tears were streaming down her face. Looking back, she could never be quite sure why she made the decision, but she did. She took off her apron, and she walked out. She phoned that night, and her young husband answered the phone. He was understandably quite worried, but also angry. "Where are you?" he said, his concern and his anger fighting for control in his voice. "How are the children?" she asked, ignoring the question. "Well, if you mean, have they been fed? Yes, they've been fed. I put them to bed, but they're wondering, like I am, what are you doing? When are you coming home?" She hung up the phone that night, but it wasn't the last of her phone calls. She called every week for the next 3 months. Her husband began to plead with her to come home. He told her the children were with their grandparents during the day. They were well cared for. He told her that he loved her. He told her how much they all loved her. That he was going to try to find out where she was. And at that point, she hung up the phone. Finally, the young husband could take it no longer. He took their savings account and hired a private detective to find out where she was. The detective reported she was in a third-rate motel in Kelowna. The young husband borrowed money from his in-laws, bought a plane ticket, and flew to Kelowna. After taking a cab to the hotel, he climbed the stairs up to his wife's third-rate room in a third-rate motel, and when his wife opened the door, he forgot his carefully prepared speech. And he said simply, "We love you so much. Won't you please come home?" She fell apart in his arms. They went home together. And some weeks later, when the children were safely tucked in bed and they were sitting in front of the fireplace, he asked her the question he'd been wanting to ask her for all these months. He asked, "Why wouldn't you come home? Why, when I told you over and over again that I loved you, why wouldn't you come home?" "Because," she said, with profound simplicity, "before, those were just words. But then, you came." On that first Christmas, over 2,000 years ago, Almighty God moved beyond words. He took on human flesh in the baby of Jesus Christ in the Bethlehem manger, and then He came. No flaming chariots brought Him here. No royal entourage greeted him. No world-stopping fanfare announced his arrival. Almighty God came to us in a helpless baby, in a feeding trough, in a manger, in a stable. The stable stank of urine, of manure, and animals. The dirt floor was hard, the straw was scarce. And over the babe were standing a very weary young mother and young father. Nobody else there but them. The father leaned against the wall. The young mother looked into the face of the baby, her son. And this baby looked like anything but Almighty God. His face was wrinkled and red. His cry was the piercing and helpless cry of a newborn. And the cord had to be cut, and then he was wrapped in cloths to keep him warm. He was utterly dependent upon his teenage mother. Almighty God came into this world in a backward village through the womb of a teenager in the presence of her husband, a carpenter, in one magnificent moment, Almighty God moved beyond words, and then he came. This indeed is what St. Paul tells us, St. John tells us in another account of the Christmas story. St. John summarizes the whole Christmas story in one verse. He says in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word is a nickname for Jesus. He said, Almighty God became flesh. St. John tells us, make no mistake, when you peek into that Bethlehem's manger, you are met with the inescapable conclusion, God is here. In my first place in ministry in Dayton, Ohio, some 40 years ago, the church had a very spacious furnace room, complete with a desk. And it was there I escaped to get away from people, to have some quiet, and to work on my sermons. One day I was surprised to see some graffiti on the inside old wooden door of the furnace room. In small but clear letters, this message was etched into the door. God was here. An innocent gag, probably by one of the creative teenagers in the congregation. But a week later, as was my custom, I returned to my place of refuge. I noticed the graffiti had been changed. This time it was more theologically correct. The word was scratched out, and the message said, God is here. When Jesus came, he was the message Almighty God sent. He was the message that Mary nursed and held in her arms. He was the message wrapped up in cloths. It was the little baby Jesus. The man was the message. God is here. God loves you. Yes, you. God did not just say he loved you in some complex theological pronouncement. He came in a way we all could understand. He came in a way that he tells us he identifies with all our heartaches and our burdens. He identifies with all the realities of our life on this earth, all of its pains and lonelinesses and sorrows. In that helpless babe of Bethlehem, God announces to the world, I am here, and I am here for you. When St. John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he says something very wonderful. In a prayer paraphrase of this verse, somebody else has made it say this, God became flesh and blood, and he moved into our neighborhood. Did you catch it? God became flesh and he moved into our neighborhood. Before Jesus was born, God visited his people in performing mighty and wonderful works. And sometimes God's people would mount up a stack of stones. Like Joshua set up some remembrance stones when the people of Israel finally got into the promised land to remind them, in this place, God was here. But when Jesus entered the world, the verb tense changed from was to is. And he still is here today. And he has come for you. Wherever your path in life has taken you, even if your path has not taken you too often to the church. When Jesus became a man, he showed us that God was not just a principle. He was a person, not a myth, but a man who was God at the same time, not a figment of somebody's imagination, but real flesh and blood. He has come to rescue us from death. Two young men were in a battlefield. I know we have a soldier with us tonight, and one coming. Two men were in a battlefield in World War II, and they made it into the safety of their foxhole. As they looked out across the battlefield, they saw the horror of dying and dead men, victims of mankind's greeds and ambition. Some of the men lay before them lifeless. Others of the men were crying out for their mothers or crying for help. Finally, one of the men in the foxhole cried out. When he saw this destruction, he cried out, "Where in the hell is God?" As they continued to watch, they noticed a medic identified by the Red Cross armband and on his helmet as well, making a way across the landscape of death. As they watched, the medic pulled one man to safety and then another. With shells raining down all around him, the medic then lifted one man on his shoulder and brought him to a safe foxhole as enemy gunfire continued. And then he emerged a second and a third time from his safe haven and went out again into the death and destruction to carry his boys to safety. The other soldier now boldly answered the piercing question of the first man when he said, "Look, there is God. There is God." When Jesus came at the first Christmas, it was his way of saying, "Look, here is God. Here is God. Here is where you see the love of God made flesh." But Christmas is just the preliminary bout before the main event for the fight for the souls of mankind. Because this Bethlehem baby grew to be the Calvary Savior, who by his death on the cross paid for the sins of the world, paid for your sins, and thank God for mine. As we look at the cross, we say the same thing. As we look into the manger, there is God. There is God. Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ was born so that he might enter the battlefield of our lives, the battlefield of sin and death and devil. And on the battlefield of the cross, that old enemy of sin, death and the devil, hit our Lord with all the heavy artillery they could muster. And on Friday, they must have thought they had won. We can see them, sin, death and the devil, doing a victory celebration. The Son of God is defeated. Well, that was Friday. But Sunday was coming. It may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. Easter Sunday morning. And then he came, burst from that tomb, resurrection and victory, came back from the dead, opened wide the doors of heaven for all who put their trust in him, shut tight the gates of hell, defeated for you sin, defeated for you death, defeated for you, the devil. And this is the reason. This is the reason he came so long ago as a helpless babe in Bethlehem's manger. Born to a teenage mother, born in a backward town, that his birth, his life, his death, and his rising from the grave might be the means that Almighty God uses to bring you to him forever. You can't get to heaven on your own. You won't get to heaven on your own. Your sin and your rebellion and your running away from God made it impossible. But perhaps, like the young woman in her opening story, your hurt or your pride or your heartache has locked you away in a third-rate motel room, and you feel far away from his love. But tonight, on this holy night, I hope you're listening right now, because do I have good news for you? God is here, in this very place, in this very time, and he is knocking at the door of your third-rate motel room in which you've locked yourselves. You can't hide from him. He won't let you. He loves you too much. Maybe your whole life you could not come to him, but he has come to you. So with joy, you greet him at the door of your heart with the same greeting that young bride gave to her husband. But then you came, and his coming has made all the difference for today and for all eternity. Blessed Christmas to you, 2018. Thank God that he has come in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.